May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1124. I fain would love the day of rest, would still esteem this day the best, but oft, alas, I've need to say, how barren is my soul today. 1124. Our reading from God's holy word is from the first book of the Kings and chapter 3. The first book of the Kings and chapter 3. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Amen. The Lord bless his holy word to our souls, and now help his servant to pray.
Dear Lord, we need thee now to grant to us thy divine help as we gather to worship thee. We pray that we may be like John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that we may be enabled from our hearts to worship thee, the only true God, and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Oh, we pray, Lord, that the world may be shut out and everything of the flesh be removed and of our carnal minds, and that we may be under the sweet influence, whether we speak or hear, of thy blessed Holy Spirit, and that we may be given a true spirit of worship, that we may be heart worshippers of thee. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be sweetly felt. And may thy house be the house of God to us, the gateway to heaven. And oh, may we lose sight of the things of time and see no man save Jesus only. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for a grain of living faith, that we might continually be looking unto Thee, seeking Thy face, seeking for a token of Thy everlasting love and a token for good in our souls. Know that Thou wouldst speak, Lord, that we might hear Thy voice. And oh, may our hearts be softened and melted, Lord. We pray that all the hardness of our hearts may be removed. Thou knowest, O Lord, the hardness of our heart by nature. But oh, may we ever be under the influence of Thy blessed Spirit and under the sweet influence of Thy grace. And may grace abound in us, dear Lord. And may we be kept tender and humble and have the mind and the spirit of Christ. Oh, we pray Thou wilt blot out our many, many sins. Oh, we would come, Lord, humbly confessing our sin. And, oh, deliver us just from lip confession, which is easier still, one said, but oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. Thou knowest, O Lord, the sins of our hearts, the sins of our thoughts, the sins of our lives. How we need Thee to wash us in that precious fountain of Thy precious blood, that we may be cleansed from all sin and guilt, and know the sweet peace of Calvary in our souls. One of old said, this glorious man, Thy peace shall be. And may each sin-sick soul this day be favoured to know that Thou didst come and to suffer, bleed and die for them. Oh, do assure each of our hearts, Lord, that it was for the crimes that we have done Thou didst suffer, bleed and die. And oh, do come near, Lord, and lift up any that are cast down. Do remember, Lord, those that are in bondage, bound by sin and Satan and unbelief. We pray Thou wilt loose Thy people. Oh, that one of old said, loose him. Say to the wicked jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. And as Thou didst say concerning Lazarus, Lord, oh, that we may know that sweet liberty in our souls. For Thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. May each one that feels bound and shut up yet be loosed, and they may tell of the wonders Thou alone canst do. Do hear prayer for the dear children, the little ones, Lord, and remember them each with the favour we pray Thou bearest to Thy people. May the prayers of dear parents be heard and answered. And Oh, may there be that sweet answer of peace sent down. Do keep them from the world, Lord, and all its snares and attractions. And may they have their hearts drawn heavenward to desire a better country that is in heaven. Oh, we pray thou wilt bless the Sabbath school and thy precious word as it is set forth to the dear children. May it be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. We pray for the dear young people that thou wilt work mightily in them thy grace and fear. To draw them away, Lord, from this sin-cursed earth, that their hearts and affections may be set on things above, and may there be raised up from among them those that shall be useful in Zion in their day and generation. May they follow on to know the Lord. And oh, that there may be those that shall be pillars, Lord, in Zion, and raised up to be vessels of divine mercy. We beg of thee to remember those in affliction, those, Lord, that are laid aside, thy servants, thy dear people. Many we think of at this time, we would gather them each up in our arms before thee. Thou wilt yet send healing and restoring mercies, that thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. And more may there be those favoured, Lord, to feel and know thy presence with them in these afflictions. They may be enabled to be still and to know that thou art God. Who grant sweet submission to thy mind and will. And if it would please thee, send down that needed healing. For thou hast said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, we pray for all that are bereaved, Lord, that thou wilt comfort them and make up the breach. Thou wilt prepare us each for the great day of death and a vast eternity. O Lord, we know not what a day or an hour will bring forth. And thou hast said, be ye also ready. And oh, may our fervent prayer be with the dear hymn writer. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothed, wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Remember, Lord, all in trouble and all that need thee, those that are persecuted for thy dear name's sake, who make bare thine arm and command deliverance if it be thy holy will. O Lord, we pray for thee to bless this corner of thy vineyard. O, we thank thee for all thou hast done. We would truly be thankful for present and yet ask for more. Oh, may there yet be many born again, Lord, who awaken many sinners round even in this village, if it would please thee. that there may be those brought to cry out, what must I do to be saved? And oh, we pray that thou wilt constrain others to follow thee. May thy love fill many sinners' hearts, that they may be able to say, hinder me not, ye much loved friends, for I must go with you. Lord, the power's thine. Do help the deacons and give them all needed wisdom and grace. We pray for thee to work mightily throughout Zion, and especially in our own flock at home, or that we may yet see others constrained, Lord, to venture while there's room. May thy servants be graciously anointed to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Who help thy dear servant with our own flock today. May he come in the fullness of the gospel and be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And O Lord, do have mercy upon the nation. Lord, what can we say? We have forgotten thee, as thy word declares, even this whole nation. Oh, do turn us from serving man and serving Satan to serve thee, the only true God. May thy tender filial fear be put in our Prime Minister and in our leaders, that they may look away from all the help in themselves and help in man, and turn to thee, the only true God. May there be a real looking unto the Lord, and may this land once again be a land of real godliness. Hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. Do deliver us from the powers of Europe and all the many evils that abound, Lord. And may we yet see the wonders thou alone canst do. O Lord, do bless our Queen and the royal household. May they be taught of thee, and be brought to know thee vitally and savingly, whom to know is life eternal. Remember all that we would and should pray for, and remember thy people throughout the earth, and those that seek to worship thee in spirit and in truth. May it be a good day in thy courts, where'er thy people meet. And be with those away at this time. We pray for thee to watch over them, preserve them and protect them. And grant, Lord, they may be refreshed and revived by the change, and brought back in peace and safety at the appointed time. We thank thee for those thou hast brought back, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with us now, to grant us that voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people, and help us to sing thy praises from our hearts, and may we know the realities what we sing. Who make up in giving where we so fail in asking. Help us to praise and bless thy holy name, so we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. Pardon what we've uttered amiss, all our sins and transgressions, accept us in the Beloved. We would ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense. I to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. Hymn 942.
Thank you.
taking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 19 and verse 14. The 19th Psalm and the 14th verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The 19th Psalm and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Dear David, and this psalm knew well what it was to be so concerned about the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart, that it might be acceptable before God. And, you know, this word has been with me for a few days, and so often when we have a word with us, we often beg of the Lord to give a word of confirmation to it, that it is the message to bring before the Lord's dear people. And it was wonderfully confirmed in that last verse of our first hymn this morning. And I'll read it to you. Of sinners, Lord, I am the chief. O bring thy worthless worm relief. Revive thy work within my soul. And then listen. And all my thoughts and powers control. Now I seek for much grace to open it up a little as helped, but let us bring it right home to each of our hearts. Is this the great concern in your heart and mine this morning? And not only today, but through our lives. You see, we hear so much today of man wanted to be acceptable by man or by governments or whoever. But what is acceptable before the Lord? And David brought it right home to his own heart. Let the words of my mouth. Now, I want us help to look at this first clause from a few aspects as helped. Firstly, the words of our mouth in prayer. You see, it's easy to utter words, isn't it? But are they just of us, or are they of God? Because they can't be of both. It's all to be acceptable before him. And that is why we read together, and you may wonder why, we read together that third chapter concerning Solomon in the Book of Kings. And you see, the Lord said to him, ask what I shall give thee. Well, he could have asked for riches and honour and all the things of time. That's what man would do by nature. But Solomon was given by God that which he should ask for. and to ask for it in faith. And what did we read? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. The Lord was well pleased with what he asked for. How often do you, in your secret prayers and secret petitions, ask the Lord to guide you to what you should ask for? Not what we want, but our inmost need, what is vital. Now Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding and the things that were vital. What did the Lord say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you look how wonderfully the Lord gave to Solomon not only what he asked for, but exceeding riches and grace, and far more than ever he asked for. Why? Because his speech was acceptable before God. Let the words of my mouth. So does it exercise your heart and mine this morning that the words that we utter in prayer might be acceptable before the Lord in our secret petitions? And those of us that have to pray in public. I remember many years ago, one of the old servants of God, he said in his prayer in the service, said, Lord, don't let me pray just to suit the people. Don't let me pray to just utter words or to suit my flesh. But help me to ask for those things that are vital. You know, I've often thought about that. But how do we ask? Well, with Solomon, with David, they ask in faith, believing the Lord would grant it. And the Lord gave it to Solomon, didn't he? Now, I don't know why the Lord has laid this upon me, but you say, is it acceptable in the sight of God? Or is it just to pray to say we've uttered words in prayer? Well, may we lay that solemn thought to heart. We would think too of what the wise man Solomon said, and the Ecclesiastes, I believe it is, where he said the preacher sought to preach acceptable words, not just to the people, but before the God of heaven. Those things are acceptable before the Lord. But let us come closer. Think of the publican, how he prayed. He prayed so different than the Pharisee, didn't he? Pharisee, thank God for that he was not like as the publican was, an extortioner, unjust, adulterers, or so on. But he prayed, the Pharisee did, from his head. But the publican prayed from his heart. Oh, he did. Now, how deep is your prayer? How deep is mine? Does it come out of our heart? Oh, how often we have to plead, Lord, do give me that real heart prayer. And why did he pray from his heart? Because the Lord was working in him and making him feel his sin, his guilt, his wretchedness. He smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did the Lord do? He had mercy on him. The prayer was acceptable before the Lord. And you think that through the word of God, there's so many beautiful prayers, aren't there, that the Lord not only heard, but he answered. They were pleasing to the Lord that the sinner had asked for forgiveness, asked for pardon, asked for peace. Let the words of my mouth. But then, that is the first point I'd make concerning our prayers. Secondly, the words we utter in our daily life. You know, some do not speak much, do they? It's their disposition and nature not to speak much. There are many gracious men and ladies that I know of are very reticent. If they can get away with one word, they will. But there are others that speak much. Everybody's different. But the vital thing is here that the words of my mouth. Do we just utter words, or do we speak well of the dear Redeemer? You think of the Apostle Paul. If ever a man spoke well of Christ, he did. And why was it that the dear Apostle Paul spoke so beautifully concerning the Lord Jesus? Was it not because he knew so much of sweet communion with the Lord and fellowship with him and his sweet and sacred presence in his heart? And you know, the more we know of sweet communion with the Lord, his sweet presence with us, the more we can speak well of him, all we can. And may our words, as we venture on from this service today, be more to speak well of Christ and not just speak of time things. You know, really, when you go around our chapels, I know I do a lot, but you know, how often do we come out from the service or whenever it may be and you hear those speak well of the dear Redeemer? Years ago, you know, the conversation of all those godly saints was what the Lord had done for them and how he'd blessed the word to them. And they were so full of the love of Christ. They got something to speak about, and he was acceptable before the Lord. What do we read in Scripture? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And you see, those old, I may have spoken of it before, but, you know, I remember reading of the old saints where they used to go down to do their washing when there was not the tap water there is today, and they went down to the spring to get the water on a Monday, and they spent time together speaking of what they'd heard on the Lord's Day. And how it was life and power to their souls. And how precious the Lord Jesus was. Let the words of my mouth, not somebody else's, my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You see, the Lord sees every one of us exactly as we are. And he sees every and he hears every word that is uttered. We're poor, fallen sinners, and we are prone to fall and prone to say things we shouldn't and have to beg of the Lord for mercy. I hope I can say from an honest heart there are those nights where I lay my head on the pillow and have to beg of the Lord that he would forgive anything that I've said wrong during the day. It concerns my poor soul, you see, eternity's before us. The day of judgment is nigh at hand. We shall have to give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether they be good or bad. Every word that is uttered will have to be accounted for. This is why David was so concerned. He was a poor sinner, just like you and just like me. He knew what it was to fall. He knew what it was to speak unadvisedly so often. But he had to beg for mercy and pray that God would touch his lips. Oh, think of that beautiful word. Touch his lips with that live coal from off the heavenly altar. And you know, when you think of that word, it's often referred to concerning the ministry, and that is vital. But you know, we need it to pray. The Lord to touch our lips, that we might ask for what is right in his sight. Ask what I shall give thee. This was what the Lord said to Solomon. How would you answer it this morning? How would I? What would we ask for? The poor, sin-sick soul would ask, Lord, do come and forgive all that sin there is within me. Wash away all the filth there is within my poor heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And then we think, thirdly, of those that speak that are constrained to follow the Lord. You know, I may have told you before, but I remember sitting in the vestry, waiting to go in before the church to speak of what the Lord had done for me, and he'd wonderfully bless me. I couldn't do anything else, only run in his ways. And I remember sitting in that vestry, you know, begging the Lord that he would speak through my poor lips to the church, that there might be a union between my poor soul and theirs. And it's sweet, you know, to sit and listen. And that binds us together. We can say amen to those things that are spoken. But I sat there, begging of the Lord, and he dropped this word into my heart. I've never forgot it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And you know, that's a wonderful word. And you know, I sat there in sweet amazement. Open thy mouth. Well, you look at it in the case of Philip when he went down to Gaza to preach to the eunuch. We read, he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He just opened his mouth. The Lord spoke, you see. And this is what we need more and more, the Lord to speak. We're just the instruments, you see. Him to speak. Let the words of my mouth, so any that may be graciously exercised concerning that sacred step, you may say, oh, I'm so poor, I can't hardly say a word. I remember, you know, years ago, dear godly man who was ever so shy and the last sort of person you would have thought would ever venture. And he came before the church and he said, you know, friends, I'm a poor sinner. But he said, the sin within me is so great, but the wonderful thing is the mercy of God is greater than it all. And his precious blood has washed away all my sin. And he didn't say any more. You see, everything was in it. And that's the vital thing, you see. It's not the volume of words. It's the reality. And here he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. But then another point I want to just briefly name is this, in this first clause, let the words of my mouth. Well, there's many ways you could further look at it, but we think concerning the ministry. You know, so often the Lord will direct his servants and they may think, well, we'll take the text in this way and that way. But, you know, during the course of the discourse, he leads them away, maybe for some poor, needy sinner. I think one of the Lord's dear servants said to me just recently, he's one of our highest esteemed servants, really, and I leave it at that. But, you know, he said to me, you know, sometimes, he said, I've had to turn right away from the text and just name this. And he said, I've had those come before the church and they had to say how the Lord directed him right into their heart, right into their path. You see, this is what we need, is the Lord to do it. Him to touch our lips with that live coal from off the heavenly altar. And then there will be these things that will flow from it. You see, firstly, there will be the savour of heaven in the word, or the will. And then there will be the sweetness of it, known and felt in the sinner's heart as the Lord speaks it through his servant. And not only this, there will be the application of it. It will be so applied by the Holy Spirit that it will be life and power to the sinner. That they'll never forget the power. I was thinking of harvest. We were talking about it last evening and it immediately brought back to me when I was under the law and a deep conviction of sin, excuse me, I went into Stapler's Chapel begging of the Lord to appear. And the servant of God's text was this: the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. And you know, that text went with such power into my soul. The harvest is past. You think, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. And I had to say, Lord, that's me. But just before the servant of God closed this sermon, he said, friends, what I want to do before we leave it is to direct you where you've got to be brought to be saved. And he said, it's here. It's at Calvary. That's where you've got to come. The Lord will lead you there. A poor, lost, wretched sinner to the foot of the cross, to have a glimpse of the agonies and sufferings of the precious Son of God suffering for your soul. And you know, the Lord sent that word with such sweetness and power. I've never forgot it. It gave me sweet hope as I came out of that sanctuary. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. And there's no other way today, poor soul. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Well, there are many other ways we could look at this first clause, but because of time I shall hasten. Let the words of my mouth. In conclusion with this first part, don't think so about somebody else's mouth, though that may trouble you. Let us examine our own. The words of my mouth. Is that accepted? Are they acceptable before the Lord? Like Solomon's was. But I want to look at this second clause. But before I do that, it comes so I will name it. You may, those of you in business and those of you that may have enemies that trouble you, seek for the Lord in dealing with them to guide the words of your mouth. So often we're left to ourselves, we speak foolishly. But oh, may our words be acceptable, humble, you see, tender before the Lord. I remember when I first took the pastorate at Ashwell, the late servant of God, Mr. Woodcraft, he said to me, "You have those that will be a gracious asset to you." But he said, "There will be those that will trouble you." He said, "But a little word of advice. If they trouble you, kill them with kindness. Don't rebel against them. Kill them with kindness." And I've often thought about that, you know. We need much grace to do it. But kill them with kindness. Now, I don't know why I name that, but you think of that. Christ's spirit, you say. You look how when he was attacked by the Pharisees, by his own national people, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. May we lay that word to heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let us look a little at this meditation. It's a very sweet subject, really, that is. You know, we need gracious meditation. People have said to me, especially religious professors, "Well, you know, you should sit down on a Saturday and you should spend the whole day meditating. Especially where you've got three services on the Lord's Day." Well, some men may be able to do that, but we leave that. But, you know, you cannot put yourself, if you're a real child of God, in a place where you can just say, "Well, we're going to meditate." It's the Holy Spirit must give that gracious meditation. Oh, it is. And he will do it in several ways. And gracious meditation is a very sweet thing. What did the psalmist say? "My meditation of him shall be sweet," of a precious Jesus, shall be sweet. I remember preaching with that word at Ashwell one Lord's Day afternoon, and Dear Mr. Clifford Woodhouse was there as a hearer. He was at Blenheim. And he was free in the afternoon. He came, and you know, I've never forgot it, and nor has he. The Lord wonderfully helped me to preach from that word. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And you know, as I preached, the dear man, the tears ran down his face. He came out and he said to me after the service, he said, I've had one of the sweetest meditations I've ever had. My meditation of him shall be sweet. And you know, the Lord's a sovereign, how he brings his dear people into sweet meditation. It's a wonderful thing in the house of God when we can meditate upon the text or whatever the servant of God may speak, or on the reading of the word, or on the hymns we sing. But you know, there are times in the dark hours of the night where you can't sleep, and the Holy Spirit takes your thoughts and hearts to the sufferings of the dear Redeemer. The dark hours that he endured. You may be troubled, you can't sleep, and about the darkness. But oh, to have those sweet hours or moments, well, I say moments, was really that's what they are, because they go so quickly, when you can really meditate upon him and what he endured. And then, you see, the Lord may bring you into paths of affliction. And you think, well, why has the Lord brought me on this bed of affliction? It may be to meditate upon his great sufferings, his death, his glorious resurrection. And that's a sweet time, you know. That'll make a bed of affliction a very sweet place, it will. Oh, yes. Not palatable to the flesh, but pleasing to the soul of the child of God. And then it may be you come into deep temptations, bitter temptations. Satan seems let loose, and you fear he's going to destroy you. And the Holy Spirit comes and he leads you to that fourth chapter in Matthew, where Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Touched with a sympathy within, he knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. You may think, well, Lord, I cannot be one of thy children in such temptation. But if he speaks that precious word to you, it'll really melt your heart, the hardest marble of your heart, as he leads you a little into what he endured, a bitter temptation. He was tried and tempted too, or to succour every tempted, burden, son, the meditation of my heart. Now, let us be very clear in this. He didn't say the meditation of my mind. David had a heart religion, and the meditation was not just in his natural mind. It was in his inmost heart, and he could meditate on the wondrous works of God and all the Lord's dealings with him. If you go into Psalm 119, I think if I remember rightly, it's mentioned either meditation or meditate seven times. And what did the psalmist meditate on? The sweet precepts of the Lord, his statutes, his testimonies. And what else did he meditate on? The word of God. Oh, yes. But what about our meditation? You know, we're often meditating on time things and what we got to do this day and that day. May the Lord draw our hearts in sweet meditation upon him. My meditation of him shall be sweet. And the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You know, there have been a few times over the years where I've sat down thinking of the service and the text upon me, and I've got no meditation at all. I think, Lord, I can't begin to preach from it. But you know, you get in the pulpit and the Lord just opens it up. The sweet meditation. But there are times where we have sweet meditation upon the word, and then you go into the pulpit to preach from it, and it just seems like a dry breath to the poor minister. And the meditation, you see, has been in prior to the service for him. It may be he comes into that to preach it to those that are in a dry land. The Lord's a sovereign. So he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And then just briefly, I must leave it. My strength and my Redeemer. Well, firstly, is it your desire, is it mine, to be able to say he's my strength and my Redeemer? There are those of you that could truly say with David, this is exactly what the Lord is to me. He's my strength. He's my strength of soul. He's my strength of body. He's my strength of mind. And what does the margin tell us in the text? Oh, my strength, my rock, the place where the sinner can build all their hope, all their salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given under heaven whereby ye must be saved. The name of Jesus. My strength. And my Redeemer. You know, to be well with your soul and well with mine if we have the dear Redeemer as our Redeemer. What did dear Job say? Look at the places he had to come. He was able to say this, and the Lord has recorded it all these years afterwards. I know. He didn't say I think or somebody has told me so. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall appear on the earth in the latter days. My Redeemer. May the Lord whisper that precious word in Isaiah 43 to your poor heart and mine this morning. Of sweet assurance. Many of the Lord's dear children have had this spoken to them over the years. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Why? For I have redeemed. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. You'll be a happy soul in Swavesey Chapel this morning if the Lord were pleased to whisper that to you. And what will be the effect of it? All your meditation will be on him. It's give me Christ, or else I die. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £690, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close by singing part of hymn 122. Hymn 122, singing verses 6 to 10. I love my shepherd's voice, his watchful eyes shall keep my wandering soul among the thousands of his sheep. He feeds his flock, he calls their names, his bosom bears the tender lambs. Hymn 122, commencing at verse 6, and finishing at verse 10.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own precious word. Do be with us through the rest of the day, Lord. Do grant journeying mercies as we travel. And do be with us as we gather here this evening, if it's thy will. Now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.